And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're here to talk some dynasty football, and we're talking about tight ends today. The sticky tight end situations. We're continuing that series here, closing it out with the tight ends. And let's be honest, tight ends, are there really any sticky situations out there? Yes or no. But again, we aren't playing in too many leagues where we're starting more than one tight end. You know, you may play in a tight end premium league, and maybe you have a couple of those upper echelon types of tight ends that you can start two of them. But more so, we're really looking for 12 solid tight ends. So where is that sticky, quote unquote, situation, and what should we be avoiding, and maybe who should we be looking to acquire that other people maybe closed out on or overlooking, we'll say, here as we head into 2025 and potential breakout type of players here in some of these stickier situations that people are overlooking a touch. Now, some of these situations obviously are going to contain a ton of rookies. There were a very good amount of rookies drafted this season that have an opportunity to make a push. There are some other rooms out there as well that really have some other teams that just are solid. You know, like, we're not going to talk about Arizona Cardinals. Like, it's Trey McBride. You could argue the Bills room's a little sticky, but I really still feel like that's Dalton Kincaid. Knox has a role, but it's not sticky enough to really dive into. Like, it's still Dalton Kincaid. I just think that there was an injury that we just missed a lot of and didn't get the full reporting on, and that's part of the reason that Kincaid had a very down season. Atlanta, as much as we want to talk about Kyle Pitts not living up to the hype, and we may not want to draft him still or roster him, but he doesn't have many people pushing him behind him and creating much of it. It's probably him, unless he's traded. Same thing with Jonnu Smith. Like, some trade rumors out there, but there's not much to talk about behind Jonnu Smith as far as actual tight end talent goes. So we have a couple of rooms that I do want to dive into and talk about as we head into this season. But again, avoiding those players. And what are we looking at for tight ends? In general, the tight end position, we're looking at a team that has a hefty target share headed towards a tight end, or potentially headed towards a tight end, maybe that second or third target on his roster. That's what you really want at the tight end position, because we want that constant fluidity. The target share needs to be there. The opportunity share, maybe, you know, you get a little bit of that Brock Bowers manufactured touch type of stuff in some of these rooms. But we want that volume to be there as a receiver, because most of these guys aren't out there throwing up crazy explosive plays. You get those select few, George Kittle, Brock Bowers, Travis Kelce, you know, you get those guys, you do, but most of them are living and dying off of a higher target share and definitely touchdowns. So that's really what you're looking for when you're trying to forecast potential tight end breakouts or potential tight ends who could be taking over for other players in the coming season. And that's really where you want to buy, you know, like Trey McBride. Trey McBride was super cheap coming off of his rookie year as far as dynasty value went. And you were able to go get him for pennies on the dollar. And then that explosion, you are reaping the rewards of that right now for sure. I mean, we've seen it year in and year out with the tight ends, and even Kyle Pitts, you know, like, he had a solid rookie season. And now at this point, like, there is an argument that for what people value Kyle Pitts at, and a guy that really doesn't have much target competition, really is just battling Drake London and Darnell Mooney. I know he didn't really put it on last year. I don't know if this is really a prediction of Kyle Pitts being more than what Kyle Pitts has been in the few seasons, but there's an argument to be had as far as what he costs in Dynasty, that it might be worth maybe tossing some flyers if you have a solid player ahead of him, you know, like a Jake Ferguson, Tucker Kraft, someone that's not really lighting it up, but can get you some points if this swing and a miss occurs with Kyle Pitts. But I do think that there's an argument to be had that he could be a decent buy candidate here as we head towards 2025. But Let's talk about those rooms that are a little sticky. We're going to start it right off the bat with the hottest topic of the first few weeks of 2024, and that was the Baltimore Ravens tight end room. Continuing to probably be sticky heading into 2025. And when I go to sticky, I don't necessarily think Isaiah Likely is taking Mark Andrews' job. But we had two top 20 tight ends out of this room. Again, in tight end premium, Likely was fairly viable at points in the season, especially early on. When it all broke down by the end of the season, Mark Andrews was the guy. We saw it even in the playoffs. When the time was needed, Lamar Jackson was looking Mark Andrews' way. Andrews did end up finishing as the tight end 6, averaging 11.1 points per game in PPR formats, and Isaiah Likely tight end 16 at 7.7. So viability for both of these players kind of on a weekly basis, depending on how deep your league was. And again, the tight end premium scoring, if that's involved, gives you that bump there for Likely to maybe be an argumentable, you know, flex play at times. Both players had solid yards per route run, both within the top 12, according to FTN data. Mark Andrews at 1.9 was 6th, and the 1.6 from Likely was 11th. So solid production there. Yards per route run has been kind of a historic stat that is used to predict, you know, some production. There's obviously some other variables outside of that, and we don't want to use just that, but it is a good indication of a stat that kind of gives you some forecasting into, oh, hey, maybe this player's a little bit better than what he put on the production side of it if he is not getting the target volume that you would see in a guy that doesn't have any competition. So both solid. Andrews was second amongst tight ends with a 71% success rate. Likely top 10 as well there at 63.8. So that's solid. You're looking at a guy that's getting there's basically an equation on first down, get X amount of yards, second down X, third gets all of it, fourth gets all of it. Both of them were very successful in those categories there. Andrews obviously being the second best in the NFL, according to FTN data, with that success rate. So we like to see that. Baltimore has always historically produced a lot of tight end production here. But what's sticky is it's going to kind of be a roller coaster. I know Andrews kind of ran away with it, was running those double-digit touchdown or double-digit points at the end of the season. But 11 touchdowns is a lot. Can he reproduce that? Potentially. But you have to remember they did add DeAndre Hopkins to the fold here. So maybe we see a little bit pulled away from Andrews. I don't think it's a ton, but a little bit of a capping in each other in Andrews and Isaiah Likely. So that's where it gets sticky for me. It's not that necessarily Likely's taking the job from Mark Andrews and you're going to find a gem here, but you may be able to kind of get Isaiah Likely on the DL at the moment. There might be some, you know, like Andrews kind of silenced what Likely was getting early on in the season. Andrews kind of silenced that in the back half. Andrews is getting older and Likely could be a very good stash in a way as we head into this. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do see Andrews fall off a little bit just because of age and the wear and tear on his body. So again, Likely caps Andrews, Andrews caps Likely. Back and forth. That's what's sticky about it for me. And I kind of wanted to really just talk about it because I don't think it's as sticky as everybody wants it to be. You know, I think we'll see some of the Likely hive flaring up and maybe the Ravens give it to us again, start the season early, giving Likely all the touches and Andrews is irrelevant. I don't think that's going to be the case though. So Mark Andrews is the guy you want in this tight end room, at least for 2025. Moving forward though, if you can get the Likely on a DL, I'm in on buying Isaiah Likely because I do think that he is probably the receiving tight end of the future here in Baltimore. The Chicago Bears are next on the docket, and this is where we start the rookie run. All right, we always want to love those rookie tight ends coming in, primed to take somebody's job. That's their job, isn't it? Rookies come in, steal people's jobs. Well, let's see what we think here in Chicago. Last season, Cole Kmet was solid for the Bears. Really wasn't what he was a few seasons back as far as the fantasy production went, but he was still tight end 19, averaged 7.1 PPR points per week. Had a good success rate, ranked 4th at 67.3% in that success rate category, which is solid. We like to see that. Like I said, I mentioned it with the Ravens there. Getting the yardage you need is a way to earn coaches respect and get snaps on the football field. So we like to see that. He has a solid explosive play rate at 14.9. It was 14th amongst qualifying tight ends over at FTN. So solid. We saw some of that. The issue was is he still only averaged a 9.9 yards per route run, which ranked 43rd. So not ideal. Really wasn't there. Only had 474 yards on through the air, 4 touchdowns, 55 targets. Maybe there's an opportunity now with Keenan Allen no longer there. Romo Dunze is probably going to step up some. You still have DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, the new coaching staff. Maybe we see a little bit of an opportunity for Cole Kmet to see a little bit more work. But then the pesky rookie is in the waiting. Colston Loveland out of Michigan was a guy that a lot of people like for plenty of reasons. This past season had a downtick in production going from 649 in 2023 to 580 yards in 2024. Did score one more touchdown this past season, though. A little bit of a roller coaster for Michigan, though, when it came down to it here for quarterback play once JJ McCarthy left from 2023. Career-wise, Colston Loveland has some pretty solid stats, running 2.2 yards per route run, according to Pro Football Focus. 8 missed tackles forced. Not ideal there. All right, he isn't really making you miss by much, but did average 5.4 yards after the catch. So giving you some production, a little bit more of kind of a catch the ball and run type of player after the catch, as opposed to really making players miss, a la the 8 missed tackles forced on 119 touches. Not ideal. Okay. Production has been there. He is a lengthy receiver, lengthy framed receiver at the tight end position, moves well for his size, a solid blocker. The question really comes is how this mesh of these two go. I think most are hoping Loveland is Sam Laporta, and that's where you're going to get that explosion here at the tight end position. The cost is built into that ADP at the moment, especially even in rookie drafts. He was a little higher than most would. I don't know if he's going to be Sam Laporta, though, to be honest. I think Cole Kmet's good enough to kind of level out Loveland a little bit. Add in, now there's that chance. This could be the third target in the passing attack. Maybe they do use Loveland more as a receiver, like the big slot, kind of just go out and make the plays while Cole Kmet blocks. We could see that here from this offense, and then it's kind of Romo Dunze, DJ Moore, Loveland. But if it's a mix here of a little bit more towards what the Packers gave us when they drafted both Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave, it may be a little bit of a mess. Obviously, not as many receivers as the Packers had at that point in time are going to probably be viable out of this Bears passing attack. But you see where it gets sticky. Obviously, Dynasty, you're going to be talking Colson Loveland's the one that you want to roster for sure. But Cole Kmet's going to be around for a while, sign that contract. That's giving him multiple years here still in Chicago, and he's good enough to stick around. I don't see them, the new staff coming in and just axing Cole Kmet. So ease into Colston Loveland here a little bit. I do think that he was the best tight end in this class. I do think that he will have arguably the best career of these tight ends that got drafted this year. I just don't know if it's going to be a full-on rookie season takeover like we saw with Sam Laporta. I would lean into kind of a Dalton Kincaid rookie season would be more of my expectation. So again, ease into it. It's going to be sticky for 2025, and then maybe we'll have some clarity by the end of it, and it's going to be Colston Loveland with Cole Kmet just being an accessory piece to this Bears offense and a solid backup tight end when his time and number is called. All right. Let's take a quick break. We got 3 more tight end rooms to make it through here before we get out of here. But let's take a break quick. Make the sponsors happy. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll get back to it. We'll talk about some of these tight ends here on the backside of the break. And we'll get you out of here right around that 30-minute mark. All right, so let's cut the break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, boys and gals. We talked on the first side of it about two teams, and that was the Baltimore Ravens and the Chicago Bears. Both fairly sticky, one with the rookie coming in, the hot name, Colston Loveland. We're going to go to another place with another rookie, less exciting on draft day, less exciting through the process until the last few weeks, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers, a spot that we thought Colston Loveland was going to go to, but they instead waited for a player very similar to Colston Loveland, taking Aronde Gaddison later in the draft. But don't forget about Will Dissly. Will Dissly is on this roster and was productive in his time on the field. Obviously battled some injuries. Did manage to finish the tight end 23, which not ideal. It was only 7.3 points per game. But really, when you're talking, you know, 12 to 23, we're talking like point X amount of points per game. Not a big range. It's a very tight category. He could have easily been tight end 14. So again, the production was there from Dissly when he was on the field. 1.6 yards per route run, ranked 10th amongst qualifying receivers at FTN. However, the success rate of 53.1 and his 10% explosive play rate, both in the bottom half of the qualifying tight ends. So he wasn't making many plays as far as the big highlight type of plays, which you also kind of want to see from tight ends because they do have a low target volume. You want to see them get a little bit more yardage on those targets. You know, we don't love the, you know, 5 yard dump off and they're tackled, because most tight ends that happens. There's not many of them that are making people miss, like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and many more, Brock Bowers. All right. Many of them lean towards the Dissly and, you know, Cole Kmet, where they're just kind of getting tackled fairly quickly once they touch the football. So we want to see people stretching the field a little bit. That's another area that you want to look at when we're talking about stats, is what's their depth of target and how much are they creating down the field as far as those explosive plays go, because low target volume, we want explosive plays. Otherwise, fantasy points aren't always a plethora. So do I think Gaddison can push Dissly out? Maybe. I think Disley's a solid tight end and all around very quality tight end. I do think Gaddison, though, as a wide receiver conversion tight end, can stretch the field. He had a high yards per route run at 2.04 for his career amongst top five in this class. Was surprised he fell as far as he did. 2 900-plus yard seasons. One came as a wide receiver. The other came as a tight end in his final season with Kyle McCord at Syracuse. Two seasons of 7 touchdowns. Actually, no, 7 and then a 6-touchdown season. So there's been production from Gaddison at both wide receiver and tight end. The issue is he's not creating much after the catch. He's kind of one of those tackled, kind of gets the ball, gets tackled. 3.7 yards after the catch for his career at Syracuse. So there is an ability. I mean, he can move. He's a strider for sure. He has the Colston Loveland kind of build where, you know, you get the football in his hands, moving across the field, the defense going in a different direction. He's going to pick up yardage for sure. Very gazelle-like in that type of category. However, he's not going to have that fluidity and necessarily strength to really bull through some players or make people miss to get those much needed extra yards. But Gaddison has very good hands, can definitely run the seam as an X receiver, has the speed and catch radius, being a lengthier player, that he can definitely be a quality target. The question comes to me is how much are the Chargers going to throw the football? And also, what is this pecking order? Ladd McConkey is the guy. You've got Mike Williams coming back. He's probably not going to play a huge role, but they did draft Trey Harris as well, much earlier than Gaddison. So Trey Harris is going to be a player that I think is overlooked much here in this class. And I think is overlooked in this formula. I think it's going to be a lot of McConkey, Trey Harris, Mike Williams. Maybe Gaddison pushes Mike Williams. I mean, Mike Williams is definitely a shell of his former self, but there's still that old connection with Justin Herbert there. I'm sure we'll see a little bit of that this season. So add in Hampton, Najee Harris, a team that's probably going to want to run the football a lot. I don't necessarily know if there's a huge path here for Gattison to give us quality success. In Dynasty, I am 100% acquiring him. I have been acquiring him late in rookie drafts from the get-go. All right, he was a player that we talked about in the past on this podcast as far as kind of like a sleeper or late round stash type of player. Like the numbers were there, the statistics, the production, it's all been there. The question was going to be how did he convert here at the NFL level, and early talks from mini camps and OTAs, etc., really sound like Gattison's impressing this coaching staff, which is great to hear. Now, hopefully he carries this momentum through training camp and really earns himself a solid role as a rookie and then can kind of build off of that into maybe 2026 or 2027, becoming a really viable asset in this passing attack. The Rams are next. We're just going to stay in LA. Sunny LA, give me the sun. All right. Live in Buffalo, sun comes far and wide. All right. You know, it's mostly rain and snow. That's how it is up here, right? Except for Monday. It's coming Monday. It's supposed to be like 90. Excited for that. But staying in LA and back to football talk, let's talk about this tight end room. Yeah, not much from it last season. Colby Parkinson, we were hoping was going to be something, didn't really come to fruition. Only averaged 3.8 points per game. So as you can imagine, was tight end 39. Much irrelevancy. Tyler Higbee came back for the final three games, much better at 8.9 points per game in the PPR formats. But the total production wasn't really there because he only played in three games. Add in Terrence Ferguson, and we got ourselves a three-headed cluster. I don't think it's as sticky as we think. Colby Parkinson falls away, and this room that we're going to build here is going to be Tyler Higbee or Terrence Ferguson. That's who we're going to talk about. Okay. We've seen the production from Higbee. We've seen a little bit of a connection with him and Stafford and kind of a little bit of a blanket. And some people are going to point out and they're going to say, well, they got Devontae Adams now. Well, they did have Cooper Kupp. Well, let's be honest. So Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams. Yes. Two threats. Are the ball going to them more than likely? Yes. Hence, there's not a ton of production to be had in this room, but it is sticky. It is fun. And Jake Ferguson is fun, you know, or Terrence Ferguson. Jeez, this is going to happen more than once. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to just be me. Too many Fergusons in the NFL here, folks. But Terrence Ferguson, their actual tight end, not Jake Ferguson, the Dallas tight end, is an exciting player coming out of Oregon. I'm a big Ducks fan. I watched plenty of his games. He's a monster at that position. Okay. His 30 missed tackles forced tells you a lot of that over his career. He was second in this class, only to Harold Fannin, who had 53. And Fannin obviously playing at the MAC, a little bit easier to break some tackles than that. But 30 missed tackles forced, very good number there. 7 yards after the catch per attempt, very good number there. Yards per route run, not totally there at 1.51, but he was running a lot of routes here in Oregon and didn't always get the ball. They've had their fair share of very good receivers coming through that territory there in Oregon. So again, three straight seasons over 390 yards. In 2022, he had 391, had 5, 6, and 3 touchdowns in the past three seasons. So a little bit of a fall off there in the final season here in 2024 as that went, but he had more yards, career high of 591. And again, only on 43 receptions. So we're seeing a guy that's got those big play abilities. He's had two seasons averaging double digit yards per reception. And we're seeing a guy that really does stretch the seam and he kind of bowls you over a little bit more than makes you miss in the phone booth type of territory. Very Tyler Higbee-esque, if I had to say. It's not surprising that Ferguson ended up in LA just because of that. I do think that there's a lot of similarities to Higbee that McVay and the staff probably could pull from and could see, hey, we can use this guy. Tyler Higbee obviously battling those injuries in the past two seasons. And I do think Ferguson can kind of come in and be a viable asset, just not a ton of fantasy production here. Though And I would probably lean to Ferguson over Gattison if I'm being honest in a rookie draft and kind of who I'm like stashing moving forward. I would just go with the draft capital, maybe a little bit more towards Ferguson, but Gattison's very alluring. I will say that when we're talking about these two rookies in LA, but again, Dynasty, it's simple. When we have a cluster, we're looking at the younger guy and that's who we're going with, especially at tight end. And tight end, we're not looking a ton at these players. I mean, I have so many dynasty rosters that I just don't have backup tight ends too much. Because it's just a free-for-all after the top 10. Maybe 12. You can argue we might have 12 or 14 that at least have name value that you're okay with rostering. So when you're talking about these guys, you know, taking some dart throws is fine. You know, I've had Brenton Strange as a guy that's eventually going to break out. We're going to find out this year. You know, we've seen some good things from him on film once he got that opportunity. And now with Evan Ingram gone, like, we're going to see that. You know, Theo Johnson's going to get a shot this year. Like, some of these players take some time and we have to be patient with them. So Ferguson is obviously the player we want here in Dynasty. But 2025, I would cap our expectations. So I'm going into the season expecting Terrence Ferguson to be your starting tight end on your Dynasty roster. That's all. That's all I got to say. All right. All right. And the final team that we got to talk about with another rookie on the roster is the Seattle Seahawks. Elijah Arroyo, maybe a guy. Right now, he's got one of the higher ADPs of this grouping, but Noah Fant has something to say about it, all right? And even A.J. Barner has had some success at times there in Seattle, so it's a little bit of a mess. Fant last season was tight end 26, 7.4. points per game. Barner tight end 35 at 4.6. Barner had some splash games there with Fant missing time. And Arroyo, another late bloomer, we'll call it, at the tight end position here. Very good after the catch. 8.8 yards after the catch per attempt is solid. We see that in his tape. He can make guys miss, run you over, and he'll outrun you. The speed is there for Elijah Arroyo, something that this room doesn't have. Fant's not overly fast, and Barner's not overly fast either. So he gives them a little bit different fold here in this room. Has battled some injuries throughout his career, but really put up 590 yards this past 590, yeah, this past season. And sorry, just lost my train of thought there. 590 yards through the air this past season and 7 touchdowns. So the production was there with Cam Ward. And I still believe in Noah Fant a little bit. And this room doesn't have a clear guy for me. I'm just not. This is still very sticky for me. And I'm going to come on here and just say I'm kind of avoiding it. You know, if Arroyo fell to me in rookie drafts, I should say most rookie drafts are over at this point. But if you still have some, if he falls to me in a territory that I'm like, I got nobody else I really want, sure, maybe I'm grabbing him. But where he's being drafted, I have plenty of other players that I'm leaning towards. And I'm not rooting against him by any means. That's not what I'm saying. I like Noah Fant. I just feel like there was an opportunity last year for Noah Fant to do something and didn't really come out. I mean, obviously they had more threats in the receiving game, and this year there's an opportunity to really find somebody outside of that. I mean, they still have Cooper Kupp now that they brought in and Jackson Smith and Jigba, but they really don't have a big seam threat type of player, and Arroyo could be that, I guess. And you can argue definitely that he could be the third target. I mean, he's battling some journeyman players. And I mean, Jake Bobo, maybe if we want to argue that he could be the guy. But I do think that's where he probably has the best chance to push. Like, I mean, Noah Fant can stretch the seam and get downfield. We've seen it from him. But Arroyo's significantly better in this category. So that's probably your hope that maybe he can be the second target, even in this passing attack. So we've seen Cooper Kupp the past few seasons have some of those injuries starting to pile up as an aging player. So who says that doesn't happen again this season? Not obviously a guarantee that Arroyo becomes the second guy based on injury, but, and I don't think he's not going to out earn Cooper Kupp, let's be honest. But if there happened to be an injury, then I could see where one of these tight ends becomes the second target. And then we also go to the next side of it, which is Sam Darnold under center. Like, is Darnold's career full circle now and he's ready to roll? Is he Geno Smith 2.0? Or was that just a blip on the radar there in Minnesota with a good coaching staff and plenty of talent around him? We're going to find out quick and early in Seattle. So we'll see how this goes. That experiment at the quarterback position for them, we may see Jalen Milroe sooner than expected. But if that's the case, I'd be a little bit more in maybe on Arroyo. Maybe not. I don't know. Darnold's had a pretty good deep ball thrower for himself as well. So I'm just in a full void with the Seattle room. Like I said, if Arroyo falls to me or I can get him in a package at a reasonable price, it's the only player. I would still go in on Fant too. I just think that there's a chance Arroyo just disappears and like Noah Fant keeps the job. Noah Fant has got the pedigree. I mean, I know the production hasn't been there, but the opportunity hasn't been there either a ton for him in Seattle with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett for the past few seasons. So that's where we're at. All right. That's some of the sticky rooms. Obviously, there's some out there too. Didn't really talk about the Giants, but not overly excited about the Giants passing attack. So guess get Theo Johnson if you want. But Greg Dulcich, interesting. Interesting. I'll say that. I'll end it there with you guys. All right. Remember, make sure you follow me on X at Pope's FFH. Make sure you follow FTN Fantasy as well. Also on Blue Sky for both of us. And FTN Fantasy is all over the place. TikTok, Instagram, you name it, YouTube. Subscribe, like, do all the fun things. Keep us on the air. Keep me on the air. That'd be appreciated, right? Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast as well. Would be greatly appreciated. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.